We have to look as extinguished as possible, you know. A lot of trials and troubles, but not alone, huh? Not alone. Appreciate that, Brother Connors. Appreciate that. I talked to Sister Healy yesterday, and tonight I went home to just get a little rest, and I said, I got to call my adopted pastor, Healy. And I talked to Sister Healy and just said, what a great time we're having in the Lord. And tell them how much we love them and praying for them. And she says, I want to put Brother Healy on. And I said, no, I don't want to talk to Brother Healy. I want to drain his strength. But I talked to him, and what a blessing they are to us. We miss him. I believe in the divine healer, but you know, the ultimate healing is going home to be with the Lord. Isn't it? Amen. Of all of our troubles, I'm looking for that day when we're home with the Lord.
Amen.
My pastor appreciated Brother Titus, and he asked me to preach. And I tried to discourage him because I said, hey, there's a whole bunch more qualified than I. And I couldn't discourage him after about a minute. And, and I appreciate that I didn't. So I said, I'll preach. How many of you would like to preach tonight, huh? Well, I'm going to preach, so Lord willing. I leaned over and I said to young Tim, I said, Timmy, he said, you going to preach tonight? I said, yeah. And I said, you got a message, Timmy? And, Timmy slipped me a little note here. We'd like to turn to Colossians, by the way, Colossians chapter 1. But little Timmy, young Tim, the young man, but he slipped me a little note here. He said, if you did not get one, a message, try Acts chapter 5, verse 29. And for those that don't know that, it said we ought to obey God rather than men. So I appreciate you asking me, Pastor, but I'm going to obey the Lord. And thank you, Timmy. I keep those kind of things. They remind me. I get some other things Timmy wrote me at different times. But we prayed about this. We're scratching out some verses we want to follow here. But in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 through verse 23. Colossians 1, verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Verse 23 we like to look at for our thought tonight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Our thought tonight, and Brother Titus introduced Brother Connors, he said he has some stick-to-itness. Our thought tonight is sticking and standing by the hope of the gospel. Sticking and standing by the hope of the gospel. We'd like to go to our wonderful Lord in prayer at this time. Father, we're so weak and so feeble. We realize there are so many enemies of the faith, just like Tobiah and Sanballat, that, Father, they consider us to be feeble, and we are without you, dear Father, because without you we know that we can do nothing. We know that not only because you said that in John 15 and 5, but, Father, we've experienced it. And so, Father, leave us not to ourselves, but give us strength and help. And our desire is that you might be glorified through it all. Bless our dear brother, Brother Healy and Sister Healy. Love them dearly, Father, for your name's sake, for their faithfulness. Just give us grace, Father. We need your grace. Bless, Father, in this service. We're thankful, Father's privilege. In Jesus' precious name, for his sake. Amen. Certainly, as we've heard so many times already in these marvelous messages sent from God, delivered by men, that we're living in troubling times and very trying times. And if there ever is a time, we need to have some stick-to-itness, Brother Titus. As you mentioned about Brother Connor, and to really not be moved away from the hope of the gospel, it's tonight. The devil knows just where to work. He is our adversary. 1 Peter 5:8, we have an adversary that walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But according to 1 John 2:1, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, you see.
Amen.
So we have that advocate. Thank God for that. But we do have an adversary. And of course, 1 John 4:4 tells us, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome him, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So, you know, we're not alone. I was talking to, I think, Brother Gordon and some others back there tonight. Brother Gordon, I mentioned Psalm 142. I never had to stand alone. David said there in Psalm 142, I looked at my right hand and no man knew me, no man cared for my soul, refuge failed me. I've never had that and had to do that, you see. I thank God for not only a precious Savior that I know is interceding for me, but brothers and sisters in Christ, you see.
Amen.
You see, the devil knows where to attack our adversary. And you see, he's trying to devour homes and families. The very first institution God ordained on this earth, you see. He's after preachers, pastors, and wives, you see. I have a dear wife that has been moved away from the hope of the gospel. Left home about a year and a half ago and wanted to do her own thing, you see. And I see her about every month or two. And I think God is, He doesn't try to deal with, He doesn't try to do anything. He does it. He does it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts with God, you see. But I have a dear wife that I love dearly that has been moved away from the hope of the gospel. I tried to pastor for a year. In fact, last year's conference, we were still endeavoring to pastor at Liberty Baptist Church. But I endeavored to try to carry on with the help of the Lord by myself. But my first message tonight, brethren, pastors, is this. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Be thankful for your wives. We as pastors will jump up at 5, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and go attend to the sheep, whatever their needs are. I look back, my dear wife would say, even in the evening hour, say, let's go visit my brother. Let's go here and go there. I'm too tired. I've been running all day, all week. I haven't got time. Yes, we'll run and jump for the sheep, and we won't love our dear families like we should, our dear wives. Be thankful for your dear wife tonight.
Amen.
Behind every successful, prosperous pastor is a faithful dear wife, praying and encouraging. Listen, dear wife, you don't know the heart of your husband, your pastor, your husband that is pastor. You may think you know him, but he's alone. He's got the Lord, certainly, but a pastor has the... If you could only know what a pastor goes through, Friday, Saturday, you know, I often wish that every member of the church could pastor for one day. We know God only calls men to preach behind this place, but if we could only get a little idea of the burden, responsibilities, and I wouldn't give you nothing for a pastor didn't have a burden for his church. But how we need to get a little insight in what a pastor and his dear wife have to go through, and pastors' wives to appreciate their husbands, and knowing that he stands there proclaiming God's word. Pastors, love your wives and be thankful for them right now. I love my wife and I'm thankful for the years of faithfulness that was there, but I guess I didn't appreciate her enough when I had her, you see. So you pray for us in this. But, yes, we need some stick-to-itis tonight. We need to stick and stand by the hope of the gospel, that hope that Christ has certainly given unto us. In verse 27 here, Colossians 1:27, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have an inward hope that God has put there, you see. A hope that should not diminish because of trials and troubles and tribulations and sufferings is not only given on us to believe, according to Philippians chapter 1 there, but to suffer for His sake. So what little bit of suffering we may go through in this life is in no comparison to what our Lord Jesus endured on the cross, didn't He?
Amen.
Despised the shame, you see. Endured the sufferings. What an author of our salvation we have. So how we need to not be moved away from the hope of the gospel that, as Paul says in verse 27, is Christ in you the hope of glory. It's an inward and living hope that Christ has put there, you see. And there are many. There are many Tobias and Sanballats, Brother Connors, that are trying to remove us away and move us away from the hope of the gospel. that anchor the soul that's both sure and steadfast there in Hebrews chapter 6, you see. Yes, we ought to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, there in Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope, but yet looking to the work that's before us, you see. And striving, because the enemy is there. Look over the page in chapter 2. We have no outline. We just pray the Lord will lead us here tonight in this thought of not being moved away from the hope of the gospel. Over here in Colossians 2, verse 4, here Paul says, this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. We've heard and we've seen this happen, haven't we? Wooing or wolving, whichever you want to call it. But that any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so, there's good message there in as and so, aren't they, in God's Word. But there, you're not saved one way and walk another way. As we received Him, we walk, you see.
Amen.
So listen, how we need to be rooted in the Word here. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Here's how we're to walk in verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, and as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man should spoil you. Let me read verse 8 again. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. A lot of philosophies in the world, you see. In vain deceit after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments, and that means the elements or the ways of the world, and not after Christ. So how we need to beware, be watchful, because our adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, over there in 2 Thessalonians, if you look there with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Brother Cockrell preached an expository at Brother Tweed's church. Marvelous message on this. In fact, messages on this chapter 2. We really appreciate those messages, Brother Cockrell, and the great encouragement you were to us there. But in the latter part here, at the last three verses, in fact, of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, therefore, and you would have to hear Brother Cockrell's message before that to say, therefore. the therefore is wherefore a reason, you see. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions, not the traditions of men now, but the traditions of God, that God has, the old landmarks, you see, that we've been given. Stand fast and hold the tradition which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle or letter. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given to us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. There's only one that's able to establish us in the work of God. We are, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, we ought to let our lights so shine before men that when they see our good works, glorify our Father which is in heaven, you see.
Amen.
Put our light on the candlestick. Glory unto Him in the church, you see. Ephesians 3:21. So we must work out our own salvation. Philippians 2:12. The latter part of that verse, Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Amen.
But as I've said when I preached here before many times at my church, is if there's one thing Baptists know today, it's how to work out somebody else's salvation. We know very well how to work out brother and sister so-and-so's salvation, but hands off my territory, you know. But God said you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And of course, in verse 13, He said there in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So how we need to get busy working and be established in the Word and the work, you see, and just keep on keeping on, you see. Where else are we going to go? I think there of John chapter 6, I think Brother Bill Sinek today just kind of quoted there, John 6:63, it is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. But following there, many of those that had followed the Lord and had kissed Him and so forth, and you know, they left, they went away. And the Lord turned to the 12 and He said, will you go away also? And this time Peter had the right answer. Verse 68, John 6:68, He said, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. If we're moved away from the hope of the gospel, where are we going to go? You see, the Lord, He's our portion, isn't He? In fact, there in Psalm 142, He said, the Lord is our portion. So there's nowhere else to go. We must be strong, and the trouble is, so many are enduring their salvation and trying to, you know, just think, kind of enjoying whatever little battle they're in. Now, we need to enjoy our salvation, but endure the battle, the work before us, you see. Over in 1 Peter, let's look over in 1 Peter, if you will. I hear that hope is talked of as a living hope or a lively hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again, born us again, unto a lively hope, living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. Now, I believe if you're here last year, I think Brother Clark preached on this last year, if we're not just kept by the power of God alone, there's responsibilities in it. The sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man run just like a railroad track through the Word of God. Never cross. Yes, we're kept by the power of God, but it's through faith, you see. There's the responsibility aspect, our responsibility, you see, to endure and, to stand in the faith, you see. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, yes, a season, and seasons do pass, don't they? Yes, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So yes, at His appearing, might we be found faithful? Might we be found, not being moved away from the hope of the gospel? Many are. Many pastors' wives, many are still in pulpits, and they're still moved away from the hope of the gospel, you see, following after other things. But oh, how we need to just keep on standing. The trial of our faith. Yes, it's through faith, you see. And we're kept by the power of God, but it's through faith. And of course, in chapter 5, we talked a little bit earlier here. Sometimes the pastor, the preacher is preaching, sometimes he's talking. Well, now let's preach from it. We kind of mentioned this. 1 Peter 5, let's look back to verse 6. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Then verse 7 says, casting all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. Look at verse 8 there. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But verse 9 there says, whom resist... There's some, you know, fighting to it, isn't there? Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing these same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Not only do we have a common salvation through an uncommon Savior, but we have common trials and troubles. That's what makes it so precious when we can identify with one another in the trials and the troubles we have, brethren. That, thank God we're not all going through the same thing at the same time, you see. So we can be an encouragement one to another, you see. But how we need to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, he keeps on walking about as a roaring lion, as seeking whom he may devour. He knows right where to hit and where to start and where to attack, you see. But we can be strong. We can resist steadfast in the faith. Outside of the faith, there's no standing. Outside of the faith, there's no sticking by the hope of the gospel, you see. But resisting him in the faith and being steadfast and being strong. Yes, in spite of the trials and the troubles and the things, quote, that come into our lives, you see. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Romans 8:18 says, and we know that Paul was probably from Kentucky, Brother Cockrell, because he said, for I reckon that the sufferings there in Romans 8:18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That old ship of Zion, you see, Brother Tim. Yeah, the sufferings of this present world, we can reckon, we can know that they're not even worthy to be put on the same scale, but we do, don't we? Well, we ought not reckon them even in the same league. Because if God be for us, there in Romans 8, who can be against us, you see? Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good. Now, the lot just quit there, don't they, Brother Don? Lot just quit there and say, well, I know that all things are working together for good. No, it's to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose, you see. And God has a purpose for all of us. And when I joined this church, I come forward and I said, what you see is what you get. I have not got much to offer, no income, but I said, my only prayer is this, that I'll stay out of my pastor's way and try to be a help to him, because it can be the other way. Yeah, I won't go into that. You preachers know what I'm talking about. And I told Brother Titus, I said, Brother Titus, I've got something you don't have. He looked at me and he said, what do you got? And I said, I've got a pastor now. But it's not out of choice, you see. It's out of necessity. So we appreciate him, though. But how we need to keep on sticking by the faith. Sticking by the hope of the gospel, you see. We have nothing else. And these dear people, these dear brothers and sisters in Christ here at Home Baptist Church, I have found a home at home. I've said that. Brother Art mentioned that tonight. Now I found a home at home here. And they're near and dear to my heart, you see. You know, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's a lot that could remove us from the hope of the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Our life counts. It ought to count for the Lord Jesus Christ, shouldn't it? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look down to verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's what we are tonight. We're earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, it's God that's working in and through us both to will and do of His good pleasure, not ours, you see. So God has earthen vessels that He has placed His grace upon, His sovereign grace, you see. And verse 8, and because we have that grace and the hand of God upon us in our daily life, when the trials and the troubles come, as Brother Hall preached one year, and I'll never forget it, encouraging words for discouraging times. And none of you all knew it, but that back even a few years ago, I was going through some troubles times then. This all started with my wife probably about 5 years ago, but God is good. He's never forsaken me one time. He's treated me a whole lot better than I could ever treat Him, you see. But when we go through these trials and troubles, we may be earthen vessels, but with the grace of God, we can do all things, you see. And in verse 8 says, we are troubled in every side. Not once in a while. We're troubled in every side, but that's not all of it. We're not distressed. We are perplexed at times, you see. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus Christ, or that of Jesus, might be made manifest in our mortal or earthly or terrestrial bodies, you see. So the life, no matter what the outward man may be experiencing, the inward man can be drawn from the grace and power and the precious Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us, Philippians 4:13. So in spite of all the trials and the troubles that we certainly go through, the life is what counts, you see. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. I'm walking and living, but it isn't really me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Amen.
The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. How about you tonight? Did He give Himself for you, you see?
Amen.
God committed His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, Romans 5:8. So, yes, through Christ, we can have an inner life, an inner glow that should never be diminished, you see. There's one indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but there are many infillings. That's why we must be renewed in the Spirit of God, you see. And if we don't come empty, we're going to be full of something. We're going to be full of the world or full of the things of the Lord, fleshly, carnal, or it's going to be spiritual, you see. So how we need to be filled with the Spirit, you see. And when these trials come, oh, the grace of God will be there, you see, to support and to strengthen, that the life might count for Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1, Brother Bill again, Brother Sinek this morning, this afternoon, said he didn't believe in eternal justification. Amen. There in Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this justification came through the Lord Jesus Christ, that precious shed blood for our sins, and how that God quickened us and caused us to, Acts 20 and 21, to repent toward God and place faith toward and in the Lord Jesus Christ. That work of grace that justified us, you see. In Romans 5:1 there again, in fact, Romans 5, verse 1 through verse 5, there he said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then in verse 2 he said, by whom we have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But that's not the end of the story. Not only so, but we also glory in tribulation.
Amen.
Knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Amen.
Patience, experience, and experience hope. And that's not the end of it. Hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us, you see. Brother Clark one time preached, and I don't know if he preached on patience or what, Brother Clark, but I said, brother, I sure need more patience. I have my kids and my family. He said, well, brother, I'll pray for your patience if you want. And I knew what Romans 5 said, and that said, what precedes patience is tribulation. I know what he wanted to pray for me about. So listen, not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Why? Because tribulation results in patience. Patience results in experience, and experience results in hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. That hope of the gospel that will not diminish, no matter the trials, the troubles, the tribulations, the power and the grace of God. Yes, we're kept by the power of God, but it's through faith, you see, and all the perseverance of the saints. Amen. I believe in that. I believe a saved person is not going to live long out of the will of the Lord. The very essence that my dear wife is still alive, as I told some of your brethren, is the fact that God has more for her to do. Either he's not fed up with her yet, or she's not saved. One of the two, you see. So that's God's business. I like to try to be concerned with my business, you see, and do what God would have me to do. In Romans 8, we talked, we might have talked about it, but Romans 8:18, we talked about how Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, whatever these things are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And of course, Romans 8, Romans 8:28 we mentioned, but look at Romans 8:26. We talk about prayer so many times, we don't even know what we ought to pray for, do we? Don't even know what we ought to pray for. You know what, in Romans 8:26, 27 and 28, Romans 8:26, I see God, the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:27, I see God, the Son. Romans 8:28, yes, I see God, the Father. In Romans 8:26, I see the fact here, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, and that should be Himself, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is not in it. So the Holy Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit takes my feeble prayers when many times I know not what to pray for. He takes them and presents them in verse 27 to God the Son. And verse 27 tells me this, and he that searcheth the hearts and knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Read that again. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Yes, there is one that searcheth the hearts. That's the one that's seated at the right hand of the Father, there in the same chapter, to intercede for us, you see. And of course, he's the one that tries the hearts. Hebrews, that is, Hebrews 4, 13 says, all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Everything's naked and before Him. Everything is revealed before the Son of God, you see. And He knows the hearts of men. But preceding that verse in Hebrews 4:13, Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God uses His Word to perform, I don't know how many times I've had heart surgery. The Lord just keeps on operating, never leaves a stitch, you see. But He keeps on operating, He keeps on showing me, and He's still working on me. I guess there's a song like that, huh? If we think we've arrived, we ain't arrived. I think Brother Hamill, one time I heard him preach, and he said, the minute you notice you're humble, you ain't got it, you know. The minute you notice that you have humility, or, you know, I'm not too bad a fella, you know. You just lost it, you see. God make us humble, you see. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the hand of that mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, you see. 1 Peter 5:6. But here, God the Holy Spirit takes that feeble prayer, presents it to God the Son in verse 27, then God the Father, yes, in verse 28, He picks up that intercession from His Son, and He works all things out for our, well, I was going to say for our good. Well, let's put it in rightful order. First of all, the all things in our lives are there, first of all, for God's glory. And He works everything out in our lives, first of all, for His glory, and next of all, for, yes, our good. So a lot of things I don't understand. I don't understand Romans 8:28, how that all things can work together for my good and for God's glory. But I know it. That's all that matters. I believe it and I know it. I don't understand it. I don't understand how the Lord Jesus Christ could love me. Because He didn't say, well, God commended His love towards me if I could get a little bit better. Then He'd die for me. No, but when I was still a wretched, depraved, wicked sinner,
amen,
God loved me, and He,
amen,
loved me back in eternity, and
amen,
determined for the world to save me, you see,
amen,
as His elect. But, oh, what a Savior.
Amen.
Hearing His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us first.
Amen.
No way I could love you, brethren and sisters, outside of the love of God, you see.
Amen.
Love begins and initiates with God, and it's all in Him, you see. What a Savior! How that He could care for me, you see. I don't understand. Talk about I don't. It's a lot I don't understand in the Word of God, but there's a lot I do know, and I know that all things are working together. First of all, for God's glory, and then for my good. You see, that's all I need to know. I'd like to understand a little bit more of that, but I just can't. I don't understand how He could love me. What a wretch that God would save me at age 35, and I'm just 36 now. Well, the Bible says all men are liars, I guess, isn't it? So, oh, what a Savior, though, huh? We're in Romans 8 here. Look over to verse 35. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who or what shall separate? What is it that could separate us from the love of Christ? Is your love so shallow that trials and troubles... they're insurmountable sometimes to us. Sometimes our burdens are too heavy to carry. That's why He said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You see, we need to get rid of our old fleshly carnal burdens and take some light burdens on. You know, some light burdens like Brother Hilly. I have no problems whatsoever. I haven't got one problem in the world. I look at Brother Healy, and what a blessing. He's my adopted pastor. I have a pastor now, Brother Titus, but what a blessing. We don't have problems, but we think we got some great big... When I first came to Liberty Baptist Church, there were two families in there. Well, first of all, every time I used to talk about our little problems, I'd say, when we have these petty problems, we had two families named Petties. And I had a... Now, three of my sons have married Petties. I got three sons that have married Petties. But I used to preach, and I say, when we have these petty problems, these... And the eyebrows would go up, you know, and I said, wait a minute, I got to change this. So I begin to say, when we have these peanut problems, you see. Yes, our problems sometimes seem to be insurmountable, but you've God before us, you see. Who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril of sword, as it is written? And that's all I care about. It's what's written, you see. As it's written, you see. Was there, Romans 10:8? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. And yes, that word of faith. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. A lot of times we don't want to put our life on the line. We don't want to say, Lord, here I am, use me. You know, we're to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be renewed by the spirit of your mind, proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I didn't quote all of verse 1, but sometimes we think we're doing so much for the Lord, putting our life on the line. No, that's how much, if you can see daylight there, that's how much we've done for the Lord. If we've done all that's required of us, we're still unprofitable, aren't we? No, in all of these things, we're more than conquerors. More than conquerors through Him that loved us. I think a verse in my mind right now is a verse that I can't quote it, but might as well turn to it. 1 Corinthians 15:58. We've heard several times, I think, here about being unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, you see. Not being moved away from the hope of the gospel. You got a hope tonight, you see. If you have a hope, then stick to it. Stay there. Be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10, Brother Connors used tonight. Our pastor preached on Sunday night there, and I got all, don't believe me, got all kinds of scribblings here, Pastor. You preached on Ephesians 6, taking on the whole armor of God. But, yes, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Whatever you leave for ain't worth it. I'll tell you that right now. It's not worth it. And that may not be good English either. But be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yes, it's worth it, brethren. We get addicted to TV and Brother Tweed, I think he preached at the conference down at Brother Robert's church about television, and he got on my football games, he got on my baseball games and so forth. But I enjoyed that message, Brother Tweed, you preached down there. But, you know, we get addicted to a lot of things. Television, soap operas, football, soap operas too. We get addicted to a lot of things, don't we? Couldn't we get addicted to the things of the Lord? You know, over in chapter 16 here, verse 13 and 15, 13 through 15, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. Be strong, let all your things be done with charity, with love. I beg you, I beseech you, I plead with you, Paul is saying here. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. We need to get some right addictions, don't we? Amen. We get addicted to a whole lot of things that are of no good to us whatsoever. We need to get addicted to the ministry of the saints and get the right burdens, you see. And because His yoke is easy, our burdens are light, you see. If they're His burden, they're a light burden that we can carry, you see. I can't carry my problems. I can't carry my... You can't either. But if you cast all your care on Him, He'll carry them, and you can carry His, you see. But cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Yes, we need to get addicted to the ministry of the saints. Revelation 22:12, Jesus said, behold, that word's a stop sign, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. One day there's going to be a day of reckoning. One day there's going to be a day that we're going to stand before the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, Romans 14:10 tell us that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ for the things done in this body, whether good or bad, you see, good or evil. And we're going to have to give an account someday. And I want to have some crowns. I want to have some works that He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not to wear some crowns around glory, because sure as Revelation 22:12 said He's coming to reward those according to their works. Revelation 4:10 and 11, there talks about our precious Lord and says they cast their crowns at His feet. And verse 11 says, for thou art worthy, O Lord, There's only one worthy. That's our Savior. Do you know Him tonight? Are you saved by the grace of God? We say that, and that's the only way to be saved, isn't it? We say that. Are you saved? Born again? Washed in the blood? Have you been changed? Are you a brand new creature in Christ? If you are, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then you have a living hope, 1 Peter, there at verse 1 in chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. A living hope, a good hope we found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. A hope that does not fade away or diminish. Oh, how about it? Would you stand and stick by the hope of the gospel? That anchor the soul that's both sure and steadfast. If you're saved, you ought to. But if you're unsaved tonight, my warning, my challenge tonight is trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jonah learned the hard way there in Jonah chapter 2. He said, salvation is of the Lord, about verse 9, I think. Salvation is of the Lord. It always has been, according to Isaiah chapter 45. You find the gospel all through the Old Testament. Now, this is my son, you see. Have you met him, either through the Old Testament or the New? What a Savior. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege we've had to be here tonight. Not only this night, but this day and this week. It's been so good, dear Father, to be in your house. We pray now, Father, you'll just help us to do your will. You'll give us grace to stand by the hope of the gospel. How much we appreciate our Christian friends here, dear Father. Just ask now that you lead and direct in our lives. Give us the grace we need to stand true and to stick by the hope of the gospel. Meet our needs, our trials, and our troubles, knowing, dear Father, that you're in control of all of these. Bless now in Jesus' name and for His sake. And amen. Brother Titus, thank you.